Welcome back to week two of Your Story. We started this last week, obviously a takeoff of the Toy Story movie, and we're just glad that you're here. I looked around this morning as you were coming and going and recognized some new faces that I had not met yet. So we're glad that you're here, whether you were invited by a friend or maybe you just saw us on Facebook and said, hey, I want to go see what's going on there. But it's also good to see all the ones who are back today. We're glad that you are back. If you were here last week, we opened the series talking about friendship. That's one of the key themes through the Toy Story movie is the friendships that the different toys make with one another and how that they come together and help each other out. And of course, that's a picture to us, an example to us of how that we can be friends and help one another out. We all need that. But even more is that we can truly be friends of Jesus. Jesus says, you know, no longer do I call you servants or slaves. I call you friends. Well, today, the title of my message is Broken But Valuable. Broken But Valuable. Maybe some of you would say, yep, I think I might identify with this message today. Let's go to the Word of God to start this morning. I want to go to the book of Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4, many of you will recognize this. This is taken from Jesus' first sermon in his hometown. And he's there in church in front of all the home folks. And he's given the scroll of Isaiah. And so he's gonna preach from Isaiah. And this is the words that he's declaring. And he's not just reading an Old Testament prophecy, but he's really making a declaration about himself, about his mission, about what he came to do, about the people that he came to help. So in Luke chapter 4, verse 18, Jesus says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel." That's good news. Somebody say good news. He's anointed me to preach this good news to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. There's a couple of words that really leaped out at me when I read that recently. It was the words broken and bruised. Broken and bruised. Those were the people that Jesus came for. They have the heart of Jesus, those who are broken and bruised. And you say, well, that doesn't really sound very excited. But the truth is we are all broken. I mean, that's just the truth. We are all broken. We were born broken because of sin that is inside of us. We've made our attempts to try to fix ourselves through the various efforts that we've done, but the reality is we are all broken. I had finished writing my notes for the message today, and I was scrolling through Facebook and came across a post from Tim Reside. Some of you would recognize the name Tim Reside. You'd call him Coach Tim. Coach Tim was the children's pastor here at our church for many, many years, and after he left us, he went on to establish a ministry called Bright Tomorrows, where he really does help a lot of broken and hurting people. And he wrote this post, and the post began with these words: "We're all broken in some way. We're all broken in some way. Whether we like to admit it or not, none of us are perfect. Not even close, right?" When we come to church, we try to hide our brokenness, though, don't we? You know, some of us have dressed up for the Toy Story series, put on a costume, put on a mask, pretend to be something that we're not. But most likely, there are some folks today that are dressed in church clothes who are wearing masks that we can't see, pretending to be something that we're really not. Because we don't want people to see the us, the me that I know. You don't want people to see the you of you that you know, the person that you have to confront when you're all alone and it's just you and your thoughts. And so we put on the smile, we put on the church clothes, we put on the happy face, we say things like, "Howdy, brother and sister, we're so glad to see you today." And you know, we say all the spiritual things, right? The reality is a lot of us are hiding stuff, broken places in our lives. Moments and days that happened, and situations that we wish we could forget about. And sometimes when we think about it, and to some degree, I'm not saying that we don't find some levels of healing, because some of you have found some great levels of healing in your life. God's been doing a work of restoration and fixing some of those broken places, but sometimes the brokenness kind of comes back again. And we're reminded of the failures and the mistakes and the hurt and the pain. And sometimes we kind of identify with Humpty Dumpty. You remember Humpty Dumpty? Sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. And all of the king's horses and all of the king's men couldn't put Humpty together again. And maybe you identify with that. You've tried all the king's horses, all the king's men, all the programs, all the everything you can to try to fix the brokenness in our lives. Maybe you're really relating to this today because you come from a broken family or a broken marriage or you've experienced a broken heart. Maybe if you were talking about your finances, you would say, "Yep, that word broke, that describes me as well there." Or maybe in your emotions, you realize that you've experienced some real hurt and some pain and some brokenness. Maybe physically in your body, it's broken down and filled with disease. Maybe you just deal with depression or discouragement or low self-esteem because of things that other people have said and done to you. Or maybe you've abused your own self with alcohol or drugs or whatever else it might be. Maybe you just don't have it all together. I heard somebody say, "Just when I thought I had it all together, I can't find it." And sometimes that's really a picture of our lives. We're trying to get it all together, and just about the time we think maybe we've got it all together, and then we look around and where did it go? Maybe you can relate to this scene from Toy Story 2.
Cowboy camp?
Andy, honey, come on. 5 minutes and we're leaving.
5 minutes? Help, help, somebody help me.
Let her go, evil Dr. Porkchop. Never. You must choose, Sheriff Woody. How shall she die? Shock or death by monkeys? Choose. I choose Buzz Lightyear. What? That's not a choice. To infinity and beyond. I'll save you, Miss P.
My hero.
Thanks, Buzz. No problem, buddy. You should never tangle with the unstoppable duo of Woody and Buzz Lightyear.
Oh, no.
Andy, let's go. Molly's already in her car seat.
But, Mom, Woody's arm ripped.
Oh, no. Maybe we can fix him on the way.
No, just leave him.
I'm sorry, honey, but you know, toys don't last forever.
What happened?
Woody's been shelved.
Oh! Andy!
What happened? Woody got shelved. Have you ever asked that question about your own life? What happened? You know, just moments ago, we were having so much fun. Just moments ago, it was a big game, and we're enjoying life, and then something happened. The next thing you know, you feel like you just got shelved. You know, in Toy Story 1, we're introduced to a neighboring kid. His name is Sid. Maybe you remember Sid. He was an evil kid. He was the one that ripped the head off of the dolls, and he would blow them up with firecrackers, his toys. He was always trying to figure out. I mean, his joy was terrorizing his toys. It's kind of like you got these two opposites. You got Andy on the one side who loves his toys and wants to play with them, and then you got Sid on the other side who's just after destroying his toys. And in this scene that we see, here's Andy's playing with Woody, and Woody's not done anything wrong. He's just having fun playing the game when something happens. Sometimes things just happen to us. Sometimes it's not a decision you made. It's not your bad choice. Sometimes things just happen in life that tear your arm, that tear your heart, that change your life. Sometimes the things that happen are a little more insidious than that, more evil than that. Sid is really kind of a picture of Satan, isn't he? The thief that comes not but for to steal and kill and destroy. The one that is called the accuser of the brethren. The one who's described as a lion that roars, going around looking whom he may devour. And maybe to some degree, and yes, to some degree, we've all fallen prey to the devouring lion. We've all experienced the pain and the hurts of life. But I've got good news for you today. And that is, while Satan may come to steal, kill, and destroy, Jesus says, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. And that's what Jesus is talking about here in the text in Luke chapter 4 when he says that the Spirit of the Lord is on me, the anointing of God is on me to do what? Just to show off, just to walk on water, just to turn water into wine, just to do some kind of... No, the Spirit of the Lord, the power, the anointing of God was on Jesus to touch people who were hurting and broken, to preach the gospel, the good news to the poor, and to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and set at liberty them that are bruised. So first truth that we see here is that everybody, all of us, are broken. But that brings me to the second truth, and that is that we're all more valuable than we realize. I want you to get that today. I need to speak that into somebody's life. There's somebody here, maybe there's several people here today, that you just need to be reminded of that you are more valuable than you realize. Because you see, here's what I know. The enemy will deceive us into seeing only the worst of ourselves. And we just talked about the fact that we're all broken. But see, the enemy really wants you to see just how broken you are. And he wants to just always just put it right there in front of you. You're broken, you're broken, you're damaged goods. You're of no value, you're of no good. And if we're not careful, we'll begin to believe that and we won't see our true value. We'll begin to judge ourselves based on what other people might have said about us. We'll begin to judge ourselves and to find our self-worth based on the lies that Satan has told us. We'll judge ourselves based on our mistakes or our failures or the worst day of our lives until we no longer see our true worth. There's another scene in the movie that I want us to look at where Woody has been kidnapped by the owner of Al's toy barn because Al wants to make Woody a museum piece. He wants to finish up his collector's edition that he has of all of Woody's friends. And so in this scene that we're going to watch, you're going to see Woody for the very first time beginning to see his true value, his true worth. Take a look.
Why, the prodigal son has returned.
Yeah! You're here! It's you!
Okay, I'm officially freaked out now.
Oh, we've waited countless years for this day. It's good to see you, Woody.
Listen, I don't know what... Hey, how do you know my name?
Everyone knows your name, Woody.
Why, you don't know who you are, do you?
Bullseye?
Thank you.
Before he was told, you don't really know who you are, do you? He did not know who he was. In fact, his last thoughts about himself, well, he'd had a nightmare because of the ripped arm. And he thought that maybe he was going to be thrown in this trash can where all the old toys were that would never, ever get played with again. And he was at this place where he was wondering, do I really have any value? Will Andy ever love me anymore? Will Andy ever want to play with me anymore? Do I have any worth? And all of a sudden, he begins to realize, wait a minute, it's not just Andy. I'm known and loved by thousands and thousands of children everywhere. And for the very first time, he begins to see himself in a different light than he'd ever seen before. And he began to realize, I'm not just some old broken toy to be shelved, to be put on the back shelf, to be forgotten about. He begins to realize, I have some value and some worth. And other people look at me and they think that I need to be on the front shelf. I'm a collector's item. I belong, as it were, in a museum. I have value. It's interesting that at the beginning of that clip, the prospector, Stinky Pete, refers to Woody as, did you catch it? Did you remember what he said? The prodigal son, yeah. Oh, the prodigal son has returned home. Now, I don't know how much the writer of the movie knew about the prodigal son. Maybe the prodigal son just is a kind of a reference to somebody who's been away and then they finally come back. But we know in the Bible what the prodigal son really was. The story that Jesus tells is of a young boy, a young man who makes a lot of bad decisions, one bad decision after another that leads him to a worse and a worse and a worse place until finally he finds himself in such a broken mess that he's eating hogs food. He's feeding the hogs. And he's come to this place where he's lost all of his own self-worth. I mean, at one point, he thought he was the king of the world. He's gotten his inheritance. He's got his money. He's got his friends. He's having the party. He's loving life. And now he comes to the place because of all of the bad decisions and the ramifications and the results of those decisions that now he finally looks at his own life and he says, you know, I am lower than the servants that work for my father. In my father's, I am so worthless. In fact, he decided what I'll do is I'll go home and I'll confess to my father and I'll say, I am no longer worthy to be called your son. That's how he saw himself, as no longer worthy. But let me remind you of what the father said in Luke chapter 15, verse 22. The father, when the son comes home and says, I'm not worthy, the father says to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet and bring the fatted calf here and kill it and let us eat and be merry. For say it with me, this my son was dead, but now he's alive again. What is the father doing? The father is establishing worth. The father is reminding him of who he really is. You may have left his home. You may have made some mistakes. You may have, you know, just wound up in the pig pen, but you are still my son, and I love you. Ah, the prodigal had come home. I want to tell you, I cannot overemphasize just how much God loves you. Just how important you are to him, just how valuable the worth that he sees in every one of you, because he created you with worth. He created you with purpose. He created you, and he had plans for your life. And maybe we've messed up along the way. Every one of us in this room would have to say, yep, because we're all broken. But there's value inside of you that the Father still sees. And he saw you as so valuable. You know, let me just back up. Do you know how you determine the real value or worth of anything? What's the value of something is the price that somebody's willing to pay. Have you ever had something that you wanted to sell and you're like, well, I think it's worth $100. I think it really is worth $100. And nobody will give you even $50 for it. Well, I'll tell you, you just found out what the value was. The value is the price that somebody is willing to pay. Can I tell you how valuable you are? Because here I want you to get the price that God was willing to pay to redeem you and to make you his own. He was willing to send his only son, Jesus, into this earth to die on a cross in order to pay the penalty for your sin so that you could have an eternal relationship with him. I want to tell you how valuable you are to Jesus. Jesus willingly laid down his own life, shed the last drop of his blood in order to redeem you and to purchase you and to make you his own. I use that word redeemed, and there's a lot of, you know, theological words that we use to describe the process in which we become born again children of God. And one of those words is this word redeem. It means to buy back, to purchase. I just want you to get the fact that Jesus has redeemed you, not with silver and gold, the Bible says, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. So in closing, number one, we're all broken. Number two, we're all more valuable than we realize. And number three, our value comes from the one who loves us and put his name on us. Your value today isn't because of something great that you did. Your value today is because of something great that God did. Your value is because of the one who loved you enough to put his name on you. One last clip.
I found it.
You found my hat?
Your hat? No. The missus lost her earring. Oh, my little sweet potato.
Oh, you found it. Oh, it's so nice to have a big, strong spud around the house.
Oh, great. That's just great. This will be the first year I miss cowboy camp, all because of my stupid hat.
Woody, look under your boot.
Don't be silly. My hat is not under my boot.
Would you just look?
You see? No hat. Just the word Andy.
Uh-huh. And the boy who wrote that would take you to camp with or without your hat.
Woody discovers his true value right here. It's not because of anything great that he did. It's because he was loved by somebody enough to write their name on him. And Bo Peep got it right. The one, the little boy, who loved you enough to write his name on your shoe, wants to spend time with you, whether you're broken, whether you've lost your hat, none of that really matters. And I want to tell you that sometimes we try to attain worth and value through our own effort. But the Bible tells us that our goodness, our righteousness is as filthy rags. I mean, the best that you can do, the best day of your life, the greatest success that you've ever had in your own effort, God looks at that and goes, filthy rags. You see, your value, your worth today is not in the level of education that you attained. Your value, your worth is not And how many zeros are in your annual salary. Your value, your worth is not in how many home runs you hit or how many touchdowns you scored or how many Grammys that you've won. I don't know how many, anybody here won any Grammys? I haven't. Your value It's not whether your shirt's torn or not, or whether you're wearing a hat or not. Your value, I want you to get this, your value is found in the one who shed his blood so that he could write his name on the door of your heart and say, he's mine and she's mine. And it doesn't matter if they mess up. It doesn't matter if they're broken. They're valuable to me. I love them. I want you to get that today. I want you to grasp that today. I want you to know that today. Whether you're a Christian and you've been serving God for the last 50 years, because I know sometimes when I fall flat on my face and I wonder, can God still love me? Yes, he can. And he can love you too, and he does love you. Or if you've never even surrendered your heart and life to Jesus, you've never made that decision to cast it all on him, to surrender it all to him, to let him write his name on your heart. You're talking about writing names. There's another word that we use to describe this Christian born-again experience. It's that we've been adopted into the family of God, and we become sons and daughters of Jesus. I've got a grandson who's adopted. We loved him from the day he came into our family. But it took a year of the legal process to work out for a judge to one day give him a whole new name, to give him our last name. My son and daughter, son-in-law and daughter's last name. He's now Elijah Steves. He's got a name that marks him forever. I want to tell you that if you surrender your life to Jesus when you're born again, you get a whole new name. You're adopted in the heavenly family. You belong to God now. He loves you. He loves you. Lord, thank you for loving us like you love us. Even with the mistakes and the failures and the brokenness, Lord, some of those things are way back in our past. It happened 10 years ago or 20 years ago or 30 years ago, but somehow they're still marking us. Maybe some of the brokenness just happened this past week. Maybe it just happened yesterday. Maybe we're looking at ourselves today feeling broken and worthless. But I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would show us that we may be broken, but to you we're valuable. To you we have worth. Not because of the good things that we've done, because of the shed blood of your Son Jesus, by which we've been adopted into the family of God. Lord, today I pray that if there's anyone who doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, that they'll make that decision. And today I pray that if there are those today that their greatest need is some area of brokenness in their life, that the anointing of the Spirit of the Lord would come into this place and bring healing. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Son, that there are judges in this land that what they literally do is they sit there to make families' dreams come true. And they hit the javelin, they say, you're adopted into this family. You know, how I think about the gospel sometimes is right now the court's in session and Jesus is our defender, and the judge, it's not criminal court, right? It's actually adoption court. And he is inviting you to join, Jesus is, to join his family. And it's a little rigged, just a tad bit rigged. Because guess what? Jesus the defender, his father is the judge. And his father really likes his son. And his father is really prone to give his son, the defender, what he wants. It's just a little rigged, right? Aren't we glad it's just a little rigged? I sense in the room that there may be some here that are saying, you know, I want to be adopted by God. I want to be redeemed. I've made choices in my life that are not, it's not worthy to be called, I'm not worthy to be called a daughter of God or a son of God. But he's saying, no, you are worthy. I love you. So every eye closed and head bowed right now. Court's in session. The judge is standing there and he's wanting to welcome you into his family. And you say, I want my name to be written down as a part of your family. I want you to add my name. I want you to write my name in your book, in the palm of your hand, on your heart. I want you to call me your own God. If that's you today, just wave at me. Yeah, I see that hand. I see that hand. I see that hand. Come on, just wave at me. Thank you. All right. It's real simple. He makes it so simple. You believe in your heart that Jesus, your defender, has made your way. He has made your case. It's settled. Your case is settled. You can be forgiven of every sin, of every horrible decision that you've made in the past. Your case, he has made your defense. So you say to the judge with me, Father, God, forgive me of all my sins, of all my bad decisions, of all my wrongdoings. I ask you to accept me into your family. I surrender my life to you. From this day forward, I ask you for your protection, for your provision, for your love, to guide me, to help me, to heal me, for me to be yours and you to be mine forevermore. In your son's name, amen. If you've said that prayer, welcome to the family. Yeah. Welcome to the family. And even if you said that prayer again and it was just this like jolt, wow, he really loves me. And it was just a wonderful reminder. That's so good. This is what this is about, guys. Isn't that beautiful? Okay. Well, the lives are being changed. Lives are being changed through this.